Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and I am excited to talk about this topic. This is a very common issue that weight loss surgery patients experience, especially after gastric bypass, gastric sleeve, just a very common issue that I feel like there are more solutions than is really talked about. So in my eyes, I always look at the why. So if someone is having an issue, why are they having the issue? What is driving that problem? So that's what I want to step back and look at. So we're going to talk about constipation and what solutions do you have? Is it really just fiber, fluids, and exercise? Or are there more options? Lots of times that solves problems for lots of people, but not always. And so we have to go a little deeper in understanding the why and what drives it and why are you having this issue chronically? Not just for a short period of time, it's for a long period of time. So we're going to dig into understanding constipation and the solutions. This first video, we are really just going to talk about kind of the why. We're going to go through the different categories of what causes or could be a contributor of constipation, and just really dig into each one one by one slowly so that you can have resources and ideas and different strategies to talk to your healthcare practitioner about. If really the only solutions that have worked for you are laxatives, Amitiza, Linzess, stool softeners, smooth move tea, all those things, there's a time and a place for all of them, and I'm not opposed to using them. I just know that that is a short-term fix for a bigger problem that we need to uncover. So let's dig into those deeper causes and see if we can resolve those, and then you don't have to keep doing those same things just to get regular bowel movements. So we're going to go beyond fiber, fluids, and movement, and we're going to talk more about the why so that we can get to the how. So we will eventually get to the how on all of these, but first let's talk about why. And I think that can get your brain churning on the different things that really do cause or contribute to constipation. And it could be a combination of these different areas that's driving it. So let's dig in and let's see if we can find some different whys for your constipation. So first off is structural. So this is something that is inhibiting your body's ability for the movement to flow naturally. So one could be alignment. So you could think things off, like your pelvic alignment is off. So maybe a chiropractic adjustment or just things like that can open things up so that it can flow easily. And something that goes along with this could even be using something like a squatty potty. So just having the right posture for having a bowel movement really is important as well. So making sure that you are paying attention to that and not excluding that as a why to your issue. You also can't forget about pelvic floor. You can have some pelvic floor dysfunction, males and females. So it's not just a female problem. It can be a male problem. And that's where you get with like a physical therapist that specializes in pelvic floor, and they can help identify, hey, you do have some dysfunction and we need to work on these areas so that you can free up this motility issue. The next one is a bowel obstruction or a partial obstruction. If you've ever had this, then you would kind of know how that feels. If you haven't, we'll dig into kind of what that would look like. Usually, for most people, surgery is going to be involved or some type of scar tissue from something. But there's all kinds of causes of obstructions. So you could name it and it's probably been a cause. Just ask any surgeon who's had to fix these. I think it's just, you know, being aware and then knowing what we need to do to prevent those from occurring frequently. One to consider is like endometriosis. That can change the structure of motility inside your abdomen. So that is, you're having the endometriosis, those lining, that uterus lining is somewhere outside of the uterus, and it can create scar tissue and adhesions and things in areas that could impact and attach to your bowel, that could impact motility, all that. So any of those things that really just impact motility is going to be a factor of what maybe is driving the constipation. Then we can move into surgical. So vagus nerve damage which can happen with weight loss surgery. There can be damage to the vagus nerve because they are working with that during surgery. So if there is some severe damage, then guess what? Your motility is going to be impacted and you might have to do more aggressive things just to have regular bowel movements. Scar tissue, so that kind of comes with, you can think of the endometriosis or other surgeries in general. So just multiple abdominal surgeries. You could have your gallbladder removed, an appendix removed. Then you have a weight loss surgery, or maybe you've had a hysterectomy. All those things are going to create scar tissue and adhesions, and that can definitely impact motility. And that may be why you are struggling so much in this area. So we might have to be more aggressive with certain things and just optimize certain areas for you to benefit. The next is imbalance, and this kind of goes in through all different areas of life. So diet is one, and of course the fiber piece. For some people, that is truly all you need. You consume a low-fiber diet, and you just got to increase those fruits and vegetables and plants and whole grains and use those every day to get that fiber intake up. You might need a mix of insoluble and soluble, and there are many vegetables and fruits that cross each other's paths, and they are in both categories, and you just need more of it. But sometimes you have tried that. You have done the fiber, the fluids, the activity, and you've not seen improvement. So what else could it be if it's a diet related? Food sensitivities can definitely drive that. So if you eat a very mundane, regular diet, same thing every day, same thing every lunch, those types of things, you're just a creature of habit and you rarely get variety, then your body could be having some issues with that. So that's why we want you to have a varied diet. So one, we get lots of different nutrients, but then also that our body doesn't have this immune reaction to it because of just life in general that's creating issues. But then you pair that with the same thing that kind of gets through those tight junctions that are in our gastrointestinal tract that are super thin, one cell thick, thin, that Now you're reacting to those foods that you eat every single day. And for some people, it is the result is constipation. So when they have those issues, they just have more constipation when they have those foods. Another one is FODMAPs, which stands for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monounsaccharides, and polyols. So those FODMAP foods are super great for our gut bacteria, super great for producing butyrate, super great for helping our intestinal lining, until they're not great, until your body cannot handle them. And for some people, those FODMAP foods, they react to, and they are going to be more constipated when they have those FODMAP foods. So once we work through that, you know, working with a dietitian who knows and understands FODMAPs, then that will be a great way to kind of work through that elimination diet and get those back into your life. Because you would never want to eliminate all FODMAPs for a long period of time. That has negative effects when you do that long term. So it's something that you do short term. You work with a dietitian, get it all back in, and get those back to high levels. Get back to consuming high FODMAPs, because that is what's going to keep your gut healthy. Dehydration. So of course, the fluids, you know, drinking half your body weight in fluids is kind of the standard. But electrolytes. So if you're sweating a lot, making sure you're replenishing with some type of potassium and sodium, whether it's a homemade thing or you buy some type of, you know, unsweetened coconut water, or you're doing an electrolyte beverage drink that's pre-made or packet, that works too. Keeping those hydration levels optimal will help keep things moving through. Diet is another one that you can think of with fat. Sometimes people just need more fat in their diet. So that could be another thing to consider. Maybe you're not getting adequate fat each day. The next one is dysbiosis. You have an imbalance in your gut bacteria in the wrong place. So this would be like a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. It's more of like an overgrowth of methanogens. And this bacteria really slows down motility, and it really impacts your ability to have regular bowel movements. So dysbiosis is just an imbalance in the gut bacteria. And the bacteria is located in the wrong place in the small intestines and not in the colon. The next one is low commensal gut bacteria. And commensals are good bacteria. Those are the things that help keep us healthy. And if you don't have a lot of those, then that's going to impact your ability to have regular bowel movements. So like acromantia, that is a great one that can help with your gut bacteria and the lining and just making everything healthy. The next one is thyroid, and hypothyroid would be the one, and that would impact your motility. So that would kind of go back to this. If you are doing, if you have a low thyroid, then your motility has slowed down and things are just not moving at the correct pace, and you need treated. So you have to work with a good practitioner that will listen to you and look at the full panels, not just the TSH. They're going to look at your full thyroid panel in conjunction with it. And then that way you get the full picture. And you may need thyroid medication. You may need to fix some nutrition deficiencies. Regardless, you just need someone that you can partner with that will help you get to the root of, is my thyroid driving my constipation? Usually if you have a low thyroid, you're going to have some other symptoms with it. You might have some hair loss. You might have some brittle nails. You're going to be tired a lot. And then the constipation, all those things are going to be connected with your ability to have a good bowel movement. And then, of course, stress. You have an imbalance in your life, and stress is out of balance. And it's kind of that communication along that vagus nerve as well. Stress really impacts our gut bacteria, and that kind of communicates to our brain. So if we're in that fight or flight mode all the time, and it's, you know, we're feeling like we're being chased by a bear every day, that is bad. We need to be in the parasympathetic or the rest and digest so that you can have that ability to turn on or turn off the stress and take a chill. So you have to learn as you get older and go through life, you learn and have that awareness that I am stressed. I do feel anxious. I feel nervous. I feel irritable. It's stress. What can I do? How do I help myself? Type of thing. So just step one is identifying it, that you even have that stress, or you know you're familiar with what these feelings are. So stress is a big one. Stress is a really big one that people really discount and don't put enough effort towards. We as a culture, we are awful at instilling good practices that really can help prevent the stress from becoming a problem. If we built it into our life that we did normal meditations and we did grounding exercises and we did things that helped us before it even happened, we're going to be more resilient and we're going to be more capable of having space to handle things. So you have to learn those practices and you have to learn how to incorporate those into your daily life so that you are not in fight or flight all the time, because that will impact your ability to have regular bowel movements. Next is medications or supplements. So iron and calcium, both of those can definitely increase constipation. Even kind of at the beginning, right after weight loss surgery, you can have issues because you are adding in iron, you're adding in calcium, you're adding protein shakes, you're probably a little dehydrated, you're not getting everything your body needs. So constipation right after surgery usually is that kind of bombardment of all of that at once. And then we have to just kind of step back and say, okay, as things start kind of getting easier, what is still causing this? So that's where you have to, you know, you'll get better at getting everything in and getting your enough fluids and stuff. So narcotic pain meds, antacids, antidepressants, those medications can all have a side effect of constipation. So you may want to look at what you are taking and see, hey, do the ones I take have a side effect of constipation? And then talk to your provider. Are there alternatives? Are there options that I could do instead so that maybe it would resolve my constipation? The next one is malabsorption, and this is bile acid malabsorption. This could go either way, but we do find that bile acid malabsorption can show up as constipation. Bile acid, think of like your gallbladder has been removed. Weight loss surgery, there is a correlation in how it shifts bile acid absorption. So that is something that you can't dismiss, that you may need to consider as a driver. Think of right after surgery. They are finding that bile acid is changed, it's altered on how it's absorbed. So that's where that could be a driver of why maybe you had bariatric surgery and you've been constipated since. You've never had a break since surgery and you've not really gotten that addressed. So there are all kinds of things you can do, and really just increasing that bile flow. So really working on bile flow with multiple things. There's so many things you could do to kind of help with that. But there are options. Some people, the bile acid malabsorption shows up as diarrhea, and some it shows up as constipation. So don't forget to rule that out as a cause. And the last one is deficiencies. So this is deficiencies in like magnesium. So maybe you aren't getting adequate magnesium in your food choices. So we might need to up some of those, or we might need to supplement it. Also, vitamin D, there is a correlation with motility and vitamin D. There's also a correlation with vitamin B1, which is thiamine, and vitamin B12. Both of those also have a correlation with motility. It impacts motility when they are low. And then something to keep in mind, if your vitamin A, your iron, your zinc are all low, even just one of them can impact your thyroid level. So just fixing these deficiencies, any of those deficiencies, could improve your thyroid function, because all of those are required in the whole thyroid process. So if you fix those deficiencies, then you may not even need thyroid medication. You just needed to fix those deficiencies. Those are things that you would definitely want to consider, you know, when you're thinking about your thyroid. Is don't forget about looking at the nutrition piece, because just fixing or taking the medication may not get you to an optimal level, and you may still struggle because you have these deficient vitamins and minerals. So hopefully this has given you a little insight to some things to consider if you do struggle with constipation regularly. On the next videos, we will dig into these different areas so that you do have kind of resources to go back to. I'll share any research that we have on each topic, and you'll have talking points with your healthcare practitioner, and we'll have some solutions of things that you can consider to try and see if that can work for you. So I hope this gives you guys some great insight and gives you some food for thought to consider why you are struggling with constipation. So hope you enjoyed today's video, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.